I'm glad that I'm here to be able to at least give you the wisdom that was given to me and that I've gained from God's Word, having looked at it for that purpose before. The guys that I brought moved forward because they're afraid they'll fall asleep, and this way I can throw things at them easier to keep them awake because they always eat too much and it makes them sleepy, and they knew to move forward enough for it. But they asked me, am I nervous? And I told them that hasn't happened in a long, long time. And one of the reasons I told them is because, you know, they say that the way to handle being nervous is preparation. So I've done that. But then I also told them arrogance doesn't hurt. And I don't mean to say that I'm arrogant, but everyone who teaches needs to be fully aware that knowledge puffeth up. Those are God's words. And so a speaker must discipline himself never to let that determine anything he does or says. And I submit to you this afternoon that I have put a great deal of thought into this idea. It has more danger in the long run than the other two things that were spoken of. Because someone involved in pornography can stop if they want to and they have help and encouragement. Someone who's been doing things they shouldn't do before they were married, if they want to and they have encouragement, they can stop. But if you mess up your life in marriage, it may stick with you forever. You say, well, Dan, I looked at the flyer. Your subject isn't marriage. If you don't know we're going to talk about marriage some, then you don't know what dating is really for. Number one, what is dating? Well, you have some guy, and he's noticed some girl, and so he finally gets up the courage to go over and say, will you go out to dinner with me? And hopefully he's perceived the chemistry, as we use the word correctly, and she says yes. And he's overjoyed, and he's nervous, and all at the same time, and so he finally, they've set a time, and he goes and picks her up, and they go out and get something to eat. But maybe it's developed since they set the time up, and then afterward they're going to see a movie, and that's supposed to be all. Because that's what the plan was, the agreement. But sometimes even nonverbal communication has said, and something else. We want to talk first about the motivation for dating. I will confess to you, I have a problem. I like women. Always have. I sometimes kid my wife, I am so far from being homosexual, you can't even believe it. That just means I'm as God designed me still. And my wife says back to me, no, you love woman. Singular. Yes. And by the way, when we tie the word love together with someone of the opposite sex, it needs to have, to begin with, at least two definitions involved. You remember most of the times in the Bible where you find the word love, it's that word, and you've heard it so many times, you even know the Greek, and it's about the only Greek I can pronounce, I believe, correctly, agape love. Now, you know that's not when you're the guy's all nervous and he says, oh, I love you. That's not the word. Did you know most conservative scholars that have actually examined the word will tell you that that word for love that God uses about himself so much that he would send his only begotten son doesn't involve a feeling to begin with. It is a determination of will, a decision of mind to seek the best in a situation. So if you had a couple, they need to have that kind of love. They want the best for each other, but then, you know, you're going to have the phileo kind. We would say that's, I really like them. They're dear to me. And because of some of the things that have already been said today and how plain they have been, we can say this now, having already the basis of how they've spoken about those ideas. If you are not attracted to someone, you had better think long and hard about marrying them. Because you remember this picture that men and women are different? And Orlando quite honestly mentioned they think differently. You have two people who think differently, who have different roles. How in the world are they going to get along? God has an outline of how to do that. It's based, number one, on love, the desire for good in all situations and towards all people. Decision of mind. But what helps them stay together when they view something a little different? The next word. Well, I really like her. But it's really stronger than that because I like pizza. But not like I like my wife. Right? That's a different degree. Hopefully, I hope you don't like pizza as much as you will your future bride or husband, however you want to look at it. But you know, that word like, to separate it from how God talks about love, we need some way to talk about it. It involves the feeling. I love my wife. A married man is anxious how he may please his wife. That's my MO. You know, in murders, that's modus operandi. That's my operational statement with my wife. God just assumed it was going to be that way. A married man is anxious how he may please his wife. You can please whoever you're going to be with and God at the same time if you do it right. So we have to have a love for each other. Then you have to have the like, the dearness, the feeling part of love for each other. And then and only then is the third word allowed to enter the picture. Do you see any form of this word in words we use today in society, eros? Do you see in that the idea of erotic? The physical love then? That's supposed to follow the first two. How do you do that? You decide to. The motivation for dating is to find and acquaint ourselves with someone we feel might be a good match for us in marriage. That's the truth about it. So actually, I would prefer to use the word courting in contrast to dating as we separate those ideas. But what happens, though, most of the time nowadays? You remember we started with you go to the restaurant and you eat, and then you go to the movie, and then who knows what's going to follow? And sometimes people almost have an understanding without a word spoken that more is going to go on than that. Orlando and I are about the same age. I don't know exactly who's older, but I would guess I'm a little older than he is. I know it probably looks that way too. See, so looks aren't always deceiving, are they? So anyway, when we were growing up together, you know, a whole group from this side of the bay would go to over there, and we'd come over here, and we were always doing things as a group. You wouldn't believe the tens of thousands of dollars I've spent on teenagers almost my age so that we could go bowling and go do everything. I wouldn't take back a cent. What did we do? We spent enormous amounts of time as a huge group together. We went all over the place doing things together. And did you know, until people started getting married off, even those that went to school, did you know out of that entire group that was probably 30 all told, only a couple of them fell away? You know, some of them got to know somebody in that circle and ended up marrying them after they had dated a while because they already knew them. You see, the excuse we have nowadays usually on, well, I want to go on a date with her is I need to get to know her. Okay, How do you get to know someone at a movie? How does that work? Now, I know, you know, you can learn something in the back row. That ought not to be being learned until after rings are exchanged and the words "I do" come out of both mouths. But how do you get to know somebody at a movie? Has any date you've ever heard about gone this way? We went to saw a movie and then we sat down and with pencil and paper and we had an intellectual dialogue about the substance of the movie. If he does that, just find some other guy to go on the next one with. Because, I mean, obviously he wasn't there to think about you. Before my wife and I got married, I actually took her on some dates. I was telling the guys in between. You know Cyan Hill out here? I had known that tall blonde who is now my wife for a long, long time. And she finally grew up and I noticed her finally. You know how they're invisible till they grow up? And I liked her. She's a considerate, kind, energetic person. And I wanted to get something done in the kingdom. And I need somebody like that and I need somebody naturally good. And she fit the bill. And so I decided that I was going to try to get her as my wife. Now here's where, please don't just automatically dismiss that I'm so weird that you can't listen anymore. Well, you might already have all done that, but that's all right. How many dates do you think I'd been on before then? Now, lest you forget, just because I'm old now, I'll just give you a hint. There was a whole lot more than one girl that liked me when I was your age. That many. None. If you talk about dates like most people have today, didn't go on a single one. Just me and one girl. The closest I ever got is I went to a Bible camp one time and you got to go on a midnight hike. And so I got to hold her hand and we got to walk on that long hike trying to escape, you know, and didn't work because there were good men like J.C. Stinnett and J.D. Nix in charge, and they already knew anything people could try, and so they didn't fall for any of it. How many dates did I really go on, according to modern definition, before I first took my wife on one? None. Okay, maybe I'm not that normal. Maybe, as my kids say, I'm just plain weird. Well, let's look at results. Shall we for a moment? I didn't figure that out myself, by the way. I had examples and parents that told me about things like that. I didn't figure it out. Don't ever try to figure out life by yourself. You know what makes a wise king? Not a brilliant one. A one that has good counselors. Counsel is what makes the difference. Read in your Bible the story of Jeroboam and Rehoboam and see how powerful good counsel can be and how dangerous bad counsel can be. Did you notice in that story, if you already know it in mine, the age of the counselors that gave bad advice, they were what? Young. There's a motive for dating. Now, sometimes the motive is, I want to get my hands on her. Well, you can do it because there's no law against it. And you'll pay the price. You will never have a marriage like you could if that causes us to do what we shouldn't do. Don't curse your own life. There should be a proper motive for dating. Before you're old enough, before you're considering marriage, you know what you can do? Always go out as a group. You know the fun you can have? If all of you at once did something like run all over the beach, tearing up the sand, yeah, you can really hurt the sand, can't you? Now you're going to wear the sand out. You can have all kinds of fun together. And you know what there is? There's safety in numbers. You know that's a survival technique. Well, for the survival of good morals and purity, their safety in numbers. Do you think any of the guys that I brought today would get into trouble if I was behind them all day long? I followed them everywhere. They'd be insane in a day, right? But you know one thing, they wouldn't have gotten into any trouble, would they? Well, we know that's not going to happen. And parents realize that as we grow up, our sense of individuality and our own determination grows, and we need to let children have more decision-making, more choices made, because they're growing into an adult and they're going to have to learn how to make decisions. Parents need to guide them as they start that trip through those years where we begin to determine our own course in life. But numbers help. I'll tell you something my mother told me when I was growing up. She said this. When she was growing up, and she just turned 75 a few days ago on Wednesday, however many days ago that is. She turned 75. So, you know, she was 28 before she got married. My dad was 35, and they had kids late in life, so, I mean, she was born a long time ago. Dast I say this? She might listen to this tape later, or I might pay for it later, but I don't think so now. I think she's past the point of worrying if people know how old she is. I believe she was born in 1932. Okay, that was a long time ago, right? That was before the Second World War, even. It's Depression time almost, right? You know what she said? When she was growing up, if you found a girl riding between two guys in a pickup, they had words for a girl like that, and we'll just say none of them were good. Now, I want to ask you a question. What has really changed since she was a girl? Has the girl changed? The girl that you find commonly riding in the pickup between two other guys, has she really changed? Oh, you can find exceptions to every rule. We're not talking about the exceptions. We're talking about if that's normally where you find her. Do you think she is any different in 1932 compared to 2007? Nope. No. Because my uncle said one time, and he was not a Christian, but he had some wisdom, and he told me one time when we were on a job, he said this, there are two kind of girls in life, the kind you play around with and the kind you marry, and he said, never mix them up. Dating is to get better acquainted and closer to the right kind of person. Man or woman, whichever you are, it'll be the opposite. It's for the bringing together closer of that. The greater determination, the finer view of, do we actually get along together? To be able to slowly grow closer together. You know what automatically ruins that movement? Maybe I shouldn't have them erase that word. It's right there. Sex will ruin that gently coming together, by the way. Brings the physical together really quickly and curses the rest almost always if it happens beforehand. Dating is supposed to have a motive that is not, I want to get my hands on her. I want to be able to have somebody on my arm to look good to the other guys. Don't go on a date till you're ready to get married. Okay, so now you really think I'm older than I even look, right? I mean every word of that. Don't go on a date, just two people, till you are old enough and responsible enough and your situation in life is such that you could get married. Because you know what might happen? You might fall in love with them. Not the agape part, you are supposed to have that. I mean the feeling part, the dearness part. It may grow and everything else may not be ready for it. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Going backwards, that's sex, that's marriage, that's leaving home. Guess what things have to be there for it to be as God designed it, all three of them. But you notice the order is not the way we did it when it was backwards. It went the other way. He leaves his father and mother. He cleaves to his wife. And then they're one flesh. That's that little three-letter word there. That's the proper order. Well, you say, okay, so you're saying I shouldn't really go on dates just the two of us till we're ready to get married and I have a pretty good idea that I would like them to be my wife. That's exactly what I'm saying. Does anybody misunderstand that point so far? I don't think so. Not unless you don't want to get it. Now, you may disagree with me, and everybody has that right to disagree with anyone else. But if we look at the fruits of actions, go find a good marriage. And you have to go looking for them nowadays. Find a Christian couple that has a good marriage, that are getting along fine, and everything looks the way it should. Go ask them. What advice would you give me? I'm thinking about starting dating this girl, and I just think she's fine, and not that I'm wanting to marry her or anything, but I'm just attracted to her, and I want to be up against her more. You know what advice every one of them will give you? Probably just exactly what I said. So I just figured I'd give you the short version of it so they wouldn't have to save you the trouble of going and asking 50 people. So there has to be the correct motive for dating. If you are not ready to get married, you are playing with fire if you do it. Let's since we've been that plain in the earlier lessons, let's just paint a picture of how dangerous this fire is. I have a sleeping bag in the back of my truck. There's a guy I knew in high school that drove a hearse. You know horses you haul caskets in? Except he had a mattress in the back of his hearse. Now suppose that I put a sleeping bag on that mattress in that car. And he and his girlfriend are going out for a drive. You don't really want me to continue, do you? Because you have a pretty good idea, knowing that there's a man and a woman, a boy and a girl there, what's going to happen. With black windows, out parked off the highway where nobody normally drives by, and in that situation. And I would submit to you, if that wouldn't be a danger to you, you either have such incredible self-control it boggles the mind, or you're dead. Or you're dead. See those eyes? He sees her, and she feels the desire to be with him. If it wasn't that way, well, God wouldn't have written what he actually did. Motive. Don't mess up motives. When I was growing up, when I was your age, I wanted to be around pretty girls just as much as any one of you guys. That 3,000 that Orlando had written there, yeah, that's probably about right. Does it ever lead to anything good before it should happen in marriage? No, it does not. It curses most people in life. Number one, have the proper motivation for dating. Number two, what is the criteria for determining who to date? Well, here's how we usually do it. She walks by and our eyes do that and we say, whoa, I'm asking her out. Right? All you guys that are trying to pretend like that's not you, you're alive, so yeah, it is you. So we'll just ask it this way, since some of you seem to not agree with it yet. Do you want an ugly wife or a pretty one? I rest my case. Yeah, I want an ugly wife. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you could marry the most beautiful woman in the world and it would work fine, that's what you would pick. Did you go to the pizza and pick the piece that was all mangled? I did. It had more cheese on it. Because I'm older and wiser, I realize that. No. Nobody says, I want an ugly husband. I want an ugly wife. Don't fool yourself that there isn't determining factors on who we even consider. There is something that has been said, and I hope you caught this wording. Marry your friend. Did you catch that in Orlando's lesson? That may be the single best advice you ever get in dating. If you cannot be their friend separate from the marriage bed, you cannot be their friend if you're in it. Is that plain enough? If you can't be friends apart from that, you can't be friends at all. Marry your friend. Okay, what's the criteria then? Who should I date? Suppose I was old enough, and admittedly with me, that's looking back a lot of years with the binoculars now on the calendar to see it. But, you know, I brought her over here that time, my wife. I had a red truck, and it had four-wheel drive, and I had her in the truck. We came to a meeting over here, and Brother Wendell was already here. He's been here forever. If you don't know about Hollister and everything else he's done in his life. And I locked it in four-wheel drive, and they didn't have all the walls set, and I drove all over Sine Hills. Up those ravines, you can still probably find my tire tracks there. You know why? Okay, number one, I wanted to show off I could drive like that. I will admit that now. At the time, I denied it to my father when he said, "Why did you do that?" I denied that part. But now, yes, not many people can drive like that up the hill. So, yes, that was part of it. But you know what else? I already liked her, and we seemed to get along pretty good. But there are some things I like in life. And if you don't like a rough truck out in rough terrain once in a while, this marriage is not going to work. That might be truer than I even want to admit. What are we getting at? Everybody's different. She was sitting like this as we're bouncing up and down that hill. She wasn't real thrilled. She doesn't come from a family that way. Everybody's going to be different. Everyone has a different personality, different degrees of likes and dislikes. And it's nice if they fit together. It really is. But now, please, if you don't remember anything I say in the lesson, will you remember this one idea? Who designed and instituted marriage? God did. I submit this to you, and there are some people nowadays that don't want to admit it, but I firmly believe it's true. If you take any mature, godly man, anyone, and a mature, godly woman, they're mature members of the Lord's kingdom. If you put them together in marriage, they will have a wonderful marriage. I believe that with every ounce of my being. And I would submit to, here's the proof of it. Try to find one thing in the entire Bible that would defeat that premise, even in principle. You know why I know that? Did you know that through Paul we get some commands on what brethren are to do to each other? And that's brethren as in brothers and sisters in Christ. God commands me to love you. That's that agape love. I want the best for you. I will work towards the best for you. I'm commanded to have that feeling for you. But you know the other word I'm commanded to have for all of you? I'm supposed to like you, if we translate that word really roughly. What? You're commanded to love and like me too. Well, that might be harder for you than it is for me then. Why? Because, well, you may decide to love me and seek the best for me, but it'd be a whole lot easier for you to like me if I'm likable. It'd be a whole lot easier. But you have the command to love and like me, and I have the command to love and like you. Okay? Now we'll just take two people out of the assembly of the saints that are doing that, and now they're a man and a woman, and we put them together in marriage. Both of those things, if they will apply the principles and follow the commands of the Lord, they will have a great marriage. Some people don't believe that. Here's what they think. They think the different subtleties of personality are so powerful that you may get people that they just can't get along. I know this isn't a real proper word for the kind of setting of, you know, doctrinal ideas, but baloney. Baloney. It's not true. You can love anybody you want. You can get along with anybody you want. And if they are a mature, faithful Christian, and you're a faithful, mature Christian, they will be fine together. And I had read this somewhere years ago, and I still can't find where I read it, but I did a whole study on it one time because I realized that the Lord was only one person. The Lord was one person. But He's our example. Do you follow why that's important? We have an example that men and women are both supposed to emulate, and He's one person. Guess how many personalities the Lord had? Oh, one. He was one individual, and yet everyone is supposed to try to be like Him. Does that mean my personality is going to be like His? Well, we don't know much about His personality. Personalities are determined by all kinds of things, but one of them is your personal desire. Somebody says, well, their personalities clash. No, their selfishness part of the personalities clash. Or else God commanded us to do what is not possible to do. And you know how many commands He's ever given like that? None. So let's apply that now to dating. Suppose now we have the right motive. The motive is, we want to slowly grow closer to the one we already have a pretty good feeling we would like to marry. Now the criteria, how am I going to make that decision? Am I worried about the subtle points of their personality? I submit to you, the first thing that should come to your mind is not measuring. I wasn't going to draw on this board because I can't even hold on to the pen, obviously. I wasn't going to draw on this board, but see if you can follow me with that. I know my hand's always shaking, all, but it doesn't look like it, but that's a tape measure. The way you determine whether she's the right one is you don't measure how far your eyeballs come out of your head. That's not how you determine. That's the one, 18 inches away from my head. That's not how you determine which one. Because you know what, guys? If your eyeballs come 18 inches out of your head, I guarantee you she's not the one you should marry. Because there's a whole lot more you're looking at than her real self. Because those eyeballs are physical, and what you're probably looking at is physical, and that's the wrong way to approach the question. What should you base the decision on? Number one. And some people have asked the thing in this kind of a question, in kind of the negative side of it. Is it a sin for a Christian to marry a non-Christian? Well, they like to bring it up because then if you say yes, they say, well, then I need you to repent of it and get out of this marriage. Good try. We'll just say that. That's a subject for another study. But we'll just say this. I submit to you the question's flawed to begin with. Have you stopped beating your wife? How do you answer that question if you're the husband? No. Well, what? Yes. Either way, you're caught. One of those horns of the dilemma thing. I submit to you the question is flawed to begin with. Is it a sin for a Christian to marry a non-Christian? The question should be, is it wise for a Christian to marry anything other than another good Christian? I don't want to know if they're a Christian. Guess what Diotrephes was? It's not much of a recommendation. Well, it's huge compared to some things, but if I have to spend my life with her and you have to spend your life with whoever it might be, number one, they better be not just a Christian. They better be a good Christian. And may I very gently warn all of you young ladies growing into women. Do not try to raise a puppy. You say, well, I don't like dogs anyway. It's an analogy, and you know it. That's why I say it that way, just to lighten the mood for a moment. Don't think, and it's a nature of womanhood, and thank God it is, that she thinks by her influence she can make everything better. Thank God he developed and designed women that way. What in the world would I be if I had not married my wife? I shudder to think. You know the advantage I have? These guys that I have to be with a lot, they don't know what I was like when I was their age. I give them a hint once in a while so they don't think they're totally off the deep end. They're just part way off. I'm trying to keep them from falling all the way into the ditch. You need to marry a good Christian. Not just a Christian. A good Christian. Because did you know, even then, it's not going to be easy. Because if you submit the point to me that two mature, ungodly people, unselfish people, following God's word put together, will automatically have a good marriage by definition, then if one of them isn't, what guarantee do you have then? Because, you see, I said they're mature and unselfish. Who in this audience is unselfish? Okay, I'll be the liar and I'll raise my hand. And you can all leave your hands down, right? Every human is ruled far too much by selfishness. So that situation is not going to exist the way we would like it to be. There's a motive and there are determining things. There's criteria to be examined on who you should even date. How far your eyeballs out of your head probably determine who not to date more than anything else. The question, well, you know, oh, I met her at school and well, I'm going to try to convert her by kissing her. Does that work? Some girl says, well, I'm going to get to know him and bring him to services. Girls, young ladies, and women, don't think men change that easily. Well, if you ask most people, the first definition, descriptive term for a man, and they say stubborn. You know, I like that word in a man if it's godly. That means an elder can stick with what he's supposed to stay with. He can be faithful and steadfast. Because what's the difference between steadfastness and stubbornness? Just what you're standing firm about. That's all. Because if it's about godly things, we would say it's steadfast. If it's selfish things, we would say it's stubborn. And if every man tends to have it, it would sure look to me like God had a hand in it. Don't try to change a puppy into a man. You might find a frog to kiss to turn into a prince. That nobody's ever kissed, even in the fairy tales, a puppy and turned him into a real man. Is he, is she a good Christian? Because if we were just to base the entire decision on statistics, if you marry someone who's not a good Christian, do you know what your chances of being faithful are? People who don't marry strong Christians have a terrible record of even staying faithful in the church. Is your happiness in this life worth more than heaven? To some people, their life is proving it. Don't do it. The motive, make sure it's the right one. Criteria, are they a good Christian? Then you can start being fickle. Well, I want a pretty one. Well, what about the ugly one? The ugly guy can marry her, right? I mean, that's what people tend to think, right? Boy, aren't we cruel? Don't we make decisions based upon the stupidest things in the world? Beauty is vain, fleeting. To paint the picture as uncomfortably as we can, Have you ever gone to a rest home and visited a lady that was 102 years old? I have. I'll give you a hint. She wasn't beautiful. Beauty is fleeting. There's something that matters. I've seen a lady that she was actually quite appalling to look at physically. Her husband was a couple of years younger, and he came into the room, and he still thinks she's the most beautiful woman that ever set foot on the earth. He's been so blinded by her goodness and her love for all the years, and maybe that's why God has her eyes start to go bad, so we don't know. I don't know, but he still thinks that's the most beautiful woman in the world because in his mind, it's still the woman he married. The silly little fickle decisions will work themselves out. If you only think about good Christian people and say maybe even we just do things in a big group, the wisest way to have it, because you know what? The big group's a lot better than your parents. If you're not going to do getting together as a bunch of young people in a big group, then haul your parents along. That'll put every bit of a fire out, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. Because it's not supposed to be burning right then anyway. If you're going to finally get to the age where you say, yes, I'm ready to be married, and I'm going to start dating girls or boys, depending on which way you are, men and women at that time then, that are good Christians, and some I'm naturally more attracted to, and then we can worry about those fickle things of, boy, we really get along and it didn't take any effort. That's awesome. You know what? I've told my wife before, I didn't have any choice in marrying her. I was tempted to draw a rope from this hand around his neck. Did you know that? I was really tempted, but you can see how bad I draw already, so I didn't do it. But I was tempted to try that for this reason. Once I started thinking about my wife before we were married, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, I want her to be my wife. Because we were already friends. Everything, she was a good person already. And so I thought, well, I just want her to be my wife then. You know what I found out? She likes vegetables. The green things? The leafy things? What's wrong with her? Meat is the answer. This he said, making all meats clean. That's the words of the Lord. You know I'm making fun. You know, there are some things about her I didn't like. She's not here, and I have no doubt the word will get back to her, but I kidded her about even this morning. Do you know how many sweaters she owns? Like the sand of the seashore, the stars of the heavens. That's the number of her sweaters. And you know what? I kid her about it, but once in a while I do tell her the truth. I say, I love you in any one of those sweaters. Sometimes I quote to her, let a woman adorn herself. And I just stop right there and I tell her, go adorn yourself. Why? Because I like her. I love her in the sense of I want the best for her. And I like her too. And if they're a good person, and yes, some personalities fit together better, but you know, arranged marriages worked too when you couldn't just go down to the courthouse and say, I'm tired of her, give me another one. You know, it isn't Walmart. You know, Walmart will almost take anything back even if you've used it. Doesn't work. You only get one chance to do a perfect job in life. I tell my children this sometimes. If you don't make a big mess, you don't have to clean up a big mess. There are some messes that there's just no brooms for, and one is a marriage. Marriage is the most perfect union made on this earth, designed, instituted by Almighty God. It fits perfectly with every aspect of our nature, every part of it. But you approach it wrong, it can be one of the biggest curses there is. right now, not to depress everyone, but just so we get a picture of how important it is in our mind. I sometimes meet with couples that are not getting along well any longer. And I submit to you, it's in reality because they never got along to begin with. 99%, it seems to be that way. Anything? I don't know. It must be over a dozen I'm meeting with regularly right now. And you know all I see? I say either one or two big, selfish babies. That's it. That's why more and more, I believe more and more firmly, that you take two good Christian people that are mature and unselfish, and they get married. Well, they're always going to have to make decisions. Everybody has to come to a decision on, well, where do you think we should live? And where? But those things can work themselves out if you love each other God's way first, then feeling, then eros, that little three-letter word. If you do it in that order, it'll work fine. So how many dates have you gone on already? You who are not married, how many dates have you already been on? Is it one or two? Is it 20? You know, I don't know how many you've gone on. Did they help you decide who to marry for your spiritual good and your physical happiness in the long run? I bet that wasn't even a determining factor in the motivation for doing it. Have the right motive for doing it. And when we finally get to the point where this would be a wise thing to do, say, I'm going to make the decision based upon the right criteria. You say, well, maybe you should just, you know, even in a good way, just go out with a lot of people to see if they work. Let me save you a lot of trouble and heartache and dollars. Because dates are expensive, you know. You got to take her out and movie and eating and those things add up. I'll give you a hint. When I go to buy a suit coat, actually, that's not a good example because my wife goes and buys it for me. But suppose that I did. And I walk into the clothier and I walk up and the coats are about this big. You know, I don't know, what size would that be? Like 32L or something, you know, hardly put it around a telephone pole. Would I start there and say, I'm going to start at the smallest, and I'm going to keep trying them on until I find something that fits? That's not how you shop for pants. You don't get in there, oh, this one only goes to my cap. Oh, I'm in the kids section. Well, they might fit, so I'm going to try them on. I wonder about the motive then. And so would you. If you saw me doing that in the store, you would say, bring them in with the white coats. He's finally lost it totally, wouldn't you? What do? We have an idea already. And we go over there, and maybe it's a 46, maybe it's a 48, maybe it's an L, maybe it's an R, but you kind of have an idea already. You don't try everything on in the store. Why? Because you know it's not going. You don't bother with what won't fit. Oh, but if we have the wrong motive, we want to. If we want to have the wrong motive, we might want to shop and walk down every aisle of the store. I know guys that want to date everything in a skirt on the earth. And you know as well as I do, then their motive is not pure. We are out of time. I don't know how it happened. Everybody else has gone way over, and usually that's my forte, so I'm going to try not doing it for once. And my dear brother Tom just smiled, and that's great because he's put up with me an awful lot before. Please, though, remember this. Two mature, godly Christians that get married are going to have a good marriage. They are. You can just mark it down. But if you have one or the other is not a good, unselfish, godly person, you're going to have problems. Figure out who before you even start it. Don't go to the clother and start trying on pants that are this tall. That would be stupid. But in life, frequently we are. It's a decision we make on, am I going to do it for the right reason, and ultimately basing it upon the right criteria of decision. There are other decisions that we make in life as well. Remember, two godly, mature people? Well, if you want to have a good marriage, it needs to be based upon that for the ideal situation. That means that you might be one of the two, so you need to be one. So for the invitation, we might ask this question. Are you worth marrying right now the way you are? Should anybody really marry you the way you are right now? What it translates into is, are you a good Christian right now? You can't be a good Christian until you are a Christian. If you're not a Christian and you want to be, as Brother Orlando said, people, anybody here would sit down with you and teach you the gospel, go to God's word and let you know exactly what God would want done. If you're not a Christian, you need to be one. It's the only life to live on this earth that guarantees happiness here and in the afterlife. But if you already are a Christian, but you really couldn't describe yourself as being a good one because some things you've done, if we can help you either to become a Christian or be a better one, if we can help you in any spiritual way, come forward now as we stand and sing.